For Theodore and Phoebe Rundle, two impossibly wonderful creatures. The croaking raven doth bellow for revenge. William Shakespeare, Hamlet, 1601. None of the animals is so wise as the dragon. His blessing power is not a false one. He can be smaller than small, bigger than big, higher than high, and lower than low. Lu Dian, 1042 to 1102 CE. Part 1. Castle. A warning before we begin. They would have said it wasn't possible, the chaos and the mayhem she caused. They would have said she didn't have it in her. It was in her, but deep. What's under your house, if you were to dig? Mud and worms, buried treasure, skeletons, you don't know. The girl dug into the depths of her heart, and there she found a hunger for justice and a thirst for revenge. The Jaculous Dragon. Christopher Forrester woke up to find a dragon chewing on his face. The dragon was the size of a sparrow, small enough to fit on the top joint of his thumb, and a thing of ravishing silver-green beauty. His expression was haughty enough to burn a hole through a steel door. The dragon spoke.
"Christopher," he said, "you have not been easy to find."
Christopher sat up. "Jacques," he said. His whole body began to shake, with shock and with joy. He pushed back his covers, looking around his bedroom. His jeans were on the floor. The window looked out over a London street. Everything was as before, and nothing was as before, because a tiny dragon was perched on his bedside table. "Jacques," he said again. He was real, and he was here, and he was biting experimentally at the light bulb in Christopher's lamp. "What's going on?"
"I have come to bring you back with me," said Jacques.
He shook broken glass off his back.
"Now, immediately."
"Back? To the archipelago?"
"Obviously. I command it."
Beneath the hauteur, there was a vibration to his voice. It was fear. The dragon flew onto Christopher's hand and bit down hard on his thumb. It drew blood.
"I have urgent need of you."
"I have urgent need of you." Christopher could feel his heart leaping upwards and upwards. But he tried to keep the excitement out of his face, tried to breathe steadily until he understood. He began to dress fast in yesterday's jeans. "If you could not treat me as a buffet, that would be nice," he said to Jacques. "Tell me what's happened. How did you get here?"
"With immense ingenuity and effort. I went to Atadina through the way between that runs in the river there. It was very damp, and I despise water. I did not enjoy it. That was unpleasant enough. But then I thought I would find you in Scotland, where the way between emerges," said Jack. "But you weren't there. I dodged your grandfather to come south, following your scent. I was attacked by a flock of pigeons and an upstart crow. I couldn't make fire. I mean, I didn't want to, lest I alert humans to my presence. So I ate what I found in those big baskets of rotting food you have inexplicably installed on your grey streets. It was disgusting, except for the little plastic squares of red liquid. Those were toothsome."
Looking closer, Christopher saw the dragon had ketchup on the scales under his chin. "But why? Why are you here? You're not safe, Jacques."
"Do you think I am unaware of that? I would not have come here and flown past your repulsive, foul-belching, four-wheeled murder tins without reason. I had no choice," said Jacques.
He clacked his teeth. There was misery in his small face.
"I was sent."
"Sent by who?" But Jacques was so tight wound now he would not speak. He exhaled, and instead of fire, a vast cloud of scalding black smoke filled the room. Christopher darted to the window before the smoke could set off